why don't we actually read, let me just, can we go back to the slides there? That way I'll read the different things that we mentioned. That way it picks it up here as well too. So we talked about a changed perspective from earthly to heavenly, that we have a heavenly perspective when we've taken off the old self, when we've put it to death, right? That we've got unity marked by love, that there's a peace, you know, the peace of Christ within us, but then also peace within our community. Also that we're walking in the freedom of Christ, truly living in freedom, not being in bondage, or what was the word you guys used?
Awareness.
Like in oppression, not living, you know, in oppression, but being free. Having that confidence in our faith to be able to talk to others, share our faith with them. And then the word of Christ dwelling with us, that we're giving thanks. That was definitely a key theme to what Paul was saying. Close fellowship with the Spirit, you know, praying in the Spirit, walking with the Spirit each and every day, having that awareness. Right fellowship with each other, right relationships, you know, a right relationship with God for sure, but then right relationship with others. Knowing the word and having a sincerity of heart, doing things with sincerity for the purpose of doing all things in Christ and for Christ. The fruit of the Spirit, having the fruit of the Spirit, and then reflecting Christ in all we do. And as I looked at this, as I looked at Colossians and this idea of us maturing and growing our faith, what that means, chapter one had some really good things as well too, and I believe it is key to our discussion as well. It's, you know, it says in verses 4 and 5 in chapter one, it says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel. And so Paul, in verse 3, he said, I'm giving thanks. I'm always giving thanks for you because of, and he mentions there in chapter 1. Yeah, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Why? Why is he giving thanksgiving? Well, one, it's because of their faith in Jesus. And second, because they have love for the saints, right? And so he's talking about, and both of these are then based on, it's because of the hope of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And so you can see that love is the result or the fruit of faith and the proof of the genuineness of the faith. And so he's commending them for their relationship with God. We talked about that. And he's commending them as well for the relationship that they have with each other, the love that's displayed. And so, you know, love is the result and the fruit of faith and the proof of its genuineness. And so, Sam, just go on to the next slide. The two key things that I see when it comes to what it means to be a mature, consistent follower of Jesus is that Jeremy was right in the one. It's just I didn't use the word fruity because that just sounds awful.
I'm thankful.
Yeah, I didn't. It's faith and fruit, right? And you see that where it's like you have faith and you're growing in your knowledge of Jesus, you're growing in your faith, your understanding of who God is, you're beginning to live in freedom, truly living in freedom, and then what's the result? You're fruity. No, you have fruit. The fruit is there. It's so evident. And you know this, what's really cool that Paul is like weaving into his letter here is that it goes back to his purpose and his goal. You know, the purpose is for people to know. They're to know Christ. They're to have faith in him. And then they begin to grow in the knowledge of what Jesus has done for them. That changes them. And then there's a cause and effect, right? There's something that happens that they begin to live, you know, that the goal is to present them as mature Christ followers, and being mature is that means that we are producing fruit. You know, like Asher even mentioned that we have that confidence to talk to others and tell them about our faith. You know, that's a sign of maturity. And so faith, you know, true faith that's growing and maturing and developing, it produces fruit. And that, you know, we see that, we see that throughout this. And so, Sam, you can just put up these different verses all throughout the letter. Paul talks about faith and then fruit. And it's really cool. He's saying, you know, you've heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, you know, and that's come to you. It's come to the world that is bearing fruit and increasing as it always also does among you. You heard it, you understood it, you're growing, you're learning it. And then he's saying he's made known to us your love in the Spirit. And then next, Sam, as we walk through it, it says, you know, Paul talks about, we haven't ceased to pray for you, asking you to what? Be filled in the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So you're growing in your faith. Why? So you can be comfortable, you can live a nice, you know, cozy life that doesn't mean, no, he's like, so that you can walk in a manner, so there's fruit, you know, that you're walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work. And then next in chapter 2, he mentions something as well too. As you received Christ, you know, that's your faith, now walk in him, right? Have some fruit. Be rooted and built up in him, established in your faith. You were taught, you're abounding in thanksgiving, you know, that's fruit as well. Chapter 3, just as I kind of motor through these here. Chapter 3, and Jeremy mentioned this, you know, you've been raised with Christ, and so what's the fruit? You begin to seek the things that are above. You've set your minds on things that are above. And then later on in chapter 3, yeah, we're right there. Verses 10 and 11, it was the put on the new self aspects, right? You have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. That's the faith, you know. Christ is in you. That's part of your faith as well. And then why? And then he gives all of these, and we've already talked about this, he gives all of these statements. And I kind of have a thing with numbers right now, just looking at Paul's different lists and stuff like that. And he mentions seven things there, and I'm not going to read them all. There's seven things, and then he puts in the center of it all, right? And let's read that together, just the beginning. Let's read all of verse 14 together. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And then he goes, you know, he goes and he lists another seven things. So it's like seven things, and then like, boom, here's the center of it all. This is what it is completely anchored in. And then he lists another seven things there that show that we truly are living in love, that there is fruit in our lives. And then he mentions all different fruit things after he talks about in verse 10, where it's like, this is what it means to have faith in Christ. This is what it means to believe. You're putting on the new life, and then boom, like here is the fruit. Here's the fruit. I love it. Like we've talked about, I think pretty well, all of these things that he's mentioning here as fruit of a maturing believer. And so really, you know, all the things that we've talked about today, what it means to be a maturing, consistent follower of Jesus is the fruit. Really, that we have fruit, that we have faith in Christ. He's given us new life. Mm-hmm. What it means for us to be maturing believers in Christ is the fruit. And I love the things that we, you know, how we summarized those things in the list that we've created. And so you know, Paul, it's interesting as you look at this letter, right, where Paul's giving thanksgiving. He says, I thank God because of your faith in Jesus. You have believed in him. You have received the new life. And then he doesn't go, and I don't think he does this in any letter, but he doesn't praise them for, I put some things down here, like a strict adherence to the ecumenical structure and systems. Right? He doesn't even praise them for like spirit-filled gatherings. And I think that's probably, you know, he would say, I think spirit-filled gatherings are a good thing. That should happen. But he's not praising them or thanking them for that. He's not praising or thanking them for, you know, maybe outreach or evangelistic initiatives. And these are all things that I truly believe should take place in a body of believers. But what Paul is saying and what he often talks about is that what do you need to be centered around? It was that pink highlighted verse that I had there, right? It's centered in love. Like if you are a community where your fruit is that you love one another and you're loving those around you, then yes, you're getting it right. You're absolutely getting it right. This is what it means. And I don't think I didn't put this. No, I don't think I put this verse up there, but you know, I was thinking back to, or I was thinking to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1-3. You know, where Paul, that's like the love chapter, and he says there, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, which sounds like amazing, right? You know, like that's an incredible thing, and even that God has given us that ability. He's given us that ability, and that's an incredible thing. He says, but if I don't have love, it's just noise. Amen. Like, it's just noise. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, I don't know exactly what all faith means, but like, I think it's like an amazing faith, you know, faith to do anything, you know, to remove mountains. But if I don't have love, like, I'm nothing at all. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, which I don't think he's suggesting anybody should do that. That's exactly what he's saying. It's like, even if you sacrifice yourself, which was something that was taking place back then, right? And we saw it happen in the Philippines even, like where it was these people that, you know, would say that they're Christians saying, I need to give up my body. I need to sacrifice. Like they would literally whip themselves with bamboo ends to say, you know, this is what it means for me to be closer to God. And it's like, no, like you don't do that, because if you don't have love, you don't gain anything. And so Paul is, as we go back to, you know, if we look at those verses again in chapter 1, verses 4-5, or in verse 3, where he says, I'm so thankful for you, Colossian believers. I'm thankful for you. I'm thanking God for your faith and the love that's the result of that faith that you have. The faith that you have in Jesus Christ as your hope and your Savior in life. And so, you know, their faith produced fruit. And like we had said, it was centered in love. And so, you know, for us as a new church, as we're starting out, what needs to be the center? You know, can we have those different things? Can we have a great, you know, kind of ecumenical service and do different things that we believe would edify the body? Yeah, absolutely. We're gonna do some things today. Like we're gonna take communion together. We're gonna enjoy a meal together. We're gonna have fellowship. You know, are there times that there's going to be a move of the Spirit in a wonderful way? Absolutely. I'm believing for that. What we need, what needs to be the center of all we do is love for one another and love being expressed out into our community as well. It's that we have faith and we also have fruit. And again, we've made a great list of the different things that are fruit. And so, what did I put on that last slide again, Sam?
The last one.
Yeah, we'll go with the last one. I was going to say, what does this mean for us individually and corporately as a church? I think the things that we listed there is wonderful, and I think to sum it up, it is that it's love, you know, love at the center of what we do. But you know what I summarize it as. When we were in the Philippines, there was one of our teachers, Pastor Ron, he gave us this salvation equation, and it's always stuck with me. And it's, you know, that it's grace, so God's grace, plus faith in God equals salvation. And it's like, oh, wow, you put it into an equation. I think it's great. We don't oversimplify things, but just something that would help us understand. And I'm like, I messaged him this week. I was like, Pastor Ron, hey, I think I came up with another equation as well that I think would be very helpful in teaching and just kind of some pastor conversation with him. It's faith plus maturity equals fruit, right? We have our faith in Christ. You know, the faith, there's believing faith, and then there's also the, like that we are living our faith in Christ, right? Our relationship with him. When you add maturity to that, what's going to be the result? It's going to be fruit, right? That there's fruit in our life. And so let's continue to believe that. Let's continue to understand that progression of faith. Let's kind of have that as an expectation for us individually, that it's like we're going to see this fruit. You know, love is going to be the center of who we are individually in Christ, but we're going to build it into who we are as a community, as a group, that we are growing, maturing in our faith, and we're producing, in our faith, and that we're producing fruit. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I really appreciate your input today, our involvement in this discussion, and I'm excited for lunch as well for us to be to enjoy a meal together. So why don't we close in prayer just as we wrap up. God, we're truly grateful for the truth of your word and just the impact of your word as well. It's amazing how your word transcends time. And Lord, we feel like, you know, even though you use Paul to speak to the Colossians and to speak into certain situations that they were feeling or that they were facing and that they were dealing with, God, you are speaking to us today. And Lord, I just pray that it be our heart's cry that we truly would, that we would be people of faith, that we are our belief in you is solid, that it is just something that's grounded in your word. And Lord, that the result of that is that we would truly be maturing, growing in our faith, that there's consistency, and that we produce fruit that's centered in love. And Lord, I'm just so thankful for that list today that we were able to come up with. And I just pray, Lord, that those things would be in our hearts and that there would be a reminder each and every week. And you know, as we look at some of these devotions that are based off of the scripture, Lord, I pray that it'd be a time that we would reflect on our relationship with you and our relationship with others. Lord, that we would continue to change, continue to develop and mature and to nurture our faith as well, that we would truly become more like you today than we were yesterday. And Lord, as we just enjoy a meal together today, I pray, God, that it would be just a wonderful time of thanksgiving and fellowship. Lord, that we would just experience your wonderful presence, growth as well, and maturity as we fellowship with one another. That, Lord, that this would be a picture of what it truly means to live in your love, to live with love for one another and love for you. So God, bless our time together. We worship you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't know, Suzanne, if you want to
heat
she needs just to heat something up. Maybe we'll is yours what I want to do is that go ahead, Suzanne, you'll hear me from there. you can go ahead and start that. What I'd like to do is for us before we partake in a meal together, I'd love for us to partake in communion. And it's kind of cool that we can do this as a smaller group, that this is this actually reflects what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 to the Corinthian church. And so will it take a bit of time that you'd want an oven on, or is it fine in a microwave?
It should be okay
in a microwave. In microwave, okay.
Meatballs, yeah.
Meatballs, okay. So be all right in a microwave? Be okay?
Yeah. Rice is warm enough. I just put both of them in the...
You mic both of them? Yeah. Okay, sounds good.
Let's take a
5 minute break if you guys would want to do that. That'd be good. Go ahead.
That's better for tongue a little bit. Have you ever heard of a phrase that says cat's better for tongue? No?
Yeah.
That was Shirley that called.
Oh, okay.
And she wanted to know what we were doing at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Whether she should drop over.
Oh, I see.
So I'm wondering
whether enjoy a meal.
Go
see?
Get her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do
but
that.
I'd have to, I'll do communion. You're doing that now?
We can wait. Why don't we wait? And then that way she can join that.
I'll call
too.
Her then
sure.
And tell her.
Yeah.
It's okay. You can get her.
Yeah. Would it... I'm just wondering if maybe one of us should swing over, like, to get her, or what do you think?
I can walk down to the van and go get her.
I'm sure. Okay, I just don't want it to be...
But it's okay, but it's not like it's not
raining. Okay. Okay.
Alright.
Yeah, for darkers, I'm not a big fan of barcodes because they're so challenging.
Yeah.
So I usually find an easier way to do a hard chord. So.
Right. Yeah. I was wondering if there were a couple chords in there.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounded like bar chords. So
right.
I was wondering if they didn't.
Well,
bar
yeah. Like when I
system.
When I try to do
yeah, I did a lot of it. So
when I play like F, it's. Like, I know F is supposed to be A, but if I can't change fast enough, I'll just like...
And
you know,
just use it to move. Yeah.
Go down to five strings instead of six strings. It goes okay like this, but when you're changing
yeah,
chords a lot, right? It's
really yeah, power chords that are up here.
Yeah.
You can see diminished is here.
Yeah.
F diminished is here. D suspended is here.
When you're playing down on like some of these, you mean like?
So you put your finger here,
yeah,
and then you bar your finger
yeah.
here,
yeah,
yeah, a bit of a stretch.
These ones
and then pinky goes down.
And here you'd say or
like right here.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of be
You gotta
here.
Like keep that pressure on the whole time.
It's not here, is it? It's here.
Yeah, it's right there. Yeah.
That's a neat sound.
Yeah. That's a D suspended chord. And you basically you take that same shape and you move it up two
yeah.
frets, you go up and knock them.
Yeah.
Dad, where do you want this?
Yeah.
And then if you change the thing up or down, you change the actual
here?
Key.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't played much with doing those bar chords. It'll go right in the middle there.
Where?
Home
like there, so should I just leave
here
for now?
We're moving more product.
Yes.
So it does make your bid.
You just put this
in.
So anyway.
Did you want? She's gonna pick up Shirley.
Oh, okay, good. So you want one of us? Like,
well, that's what I'm wondering. It might be easier.
So I can quickly go grab her.
I'm not.
Go ahead, and check. No.
You're
doing it.
She's just up the hill, right?
Yes.
You used to be calling, but now you're...
Yeah.
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 watches me in my bedroom, and then I may come up I walk with things that could be out of mind that walk up and down. I'm machining.
Yeah, because our standards care sometimes they're more paperwork than they are knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like they're trying to fix it.
They switched it from an exam, and now they realize they don't have enough nurses, so we have enough nurses, you know,
right, yeah,
scenario,
the
but
I was listening to
the
White Coat Black Art the other day on CBC, and they were talking about that, like, there's so many people who are well qualified from other countries, and our will say, no, you're serious, so you have to go do these other things, and meanwhile, our health system is stagnant.
It's crazy, like, if we go to the U.S., we can
just get paid more. It's all private.
One of my mentors here told me to, like, why should we just cross the border every day and go to
the Do you want to
try it? I know some people in Sarnia that do that. Let's just get Canada caught up and can do it. It's unfortunate. How long have you guys been in Canada? I know I've asked you before, but I think I asked you
before. Where's
the dance? We'll make sure you guys get
Did you guys come together?
No.
Were you married prior to you coming to the house?
He was
a little one, but he was just gone when
he
came.
Kenneth was a year old when he came.
A year old,
yeah. Yeah, we applied as a family, but then we realized that we couldn't come as a family.
Asher went downstairs to the
Right. And there's snow. November.
Yes.
So we passed the exam. You came and you're like, okay.
No, I
mean,
I needed to settle in as well. Yeah. Make sure you're doing a good
job.
Bring the families to rather than bring them in the middle of the world.
Chaos. Yeah.
So, just real people.
That would have been hard.
Yeah.
Sorry, it was 2 years you were here.
Yeah.
That would have been hard. For both of you. So how old was Caleb? Did you go back and forth, or do we have rules against that?
Just went. Yeah, 2 years it was you, and then went to
Boston. So he was this, and then he was this.
I wanted to go to the Australia.
I'm glad you decided to do it together.
No, we decided that he would get the religious first, that
country.
Okay. He was more inclined to come to Canada.
Australia
because I had family.
What?
Come on. Let's see it. It's not to be great.
It's a lot. The weather's similar too.
You hear jingle bells? I'm sure you do. Can you read music?
Yeah.
Then play something. No one's going to judge you.
What? Not which country, but why leave?
That is Jeremy's phone still.
We found a lot of
probably still recording.
He's been going out of his lease within, and he had just moved from Sri Lanka.
Yeah, I'm going to.